Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
Isn't it funny that Trump doesn't mind early calls when they're in his favor, but he gets really upset about it when he's losing?
Stop the counting. Oh, did you ever say, keep counting. Right, of course. Yes, that he famously advocated for both things at the same time during the 2020 election. Amazing. So right off the bat, it is Tuesday night, January 23rd. This is the New Hampshire primary. Big night for everyone. Not really.
Maybe in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Everyone's out. Not really. It's probably cold there. Big night for no one. Trump wins the New Hampshire primary literally moments after the polls close, they call it, because of course. This is not much of a shock to anyone paying attention. However, Brad and I just looked at the numbers. Again, there's only 35% reporting right now, or let's see if it'll refresh. It's a little higher. No, still at 34.9% reporting. So just keep that in mind, right? These numbers will widen a bit, but it is telling. At just about 35% reported in, Donald Trump is winning 53.4% of the vote to Nikki Haley's 45.5%, and then other candidates got 1.1%. Much like last week, we talked about Iowa. Just over 50% is not a good-looking number for the incumbent candidate to be – he should be walking away with this shit. It should be 90-10.
Well, I was about to say, you could argue that this is actually worse than last week. Because at least last week you can make the excuse. It's like, well, you know, there was like three other candidates that were on the ballot and splitting votes. And you would assume that with DeSantis dropping out, more on Ron later – And Vivek dropping out, that all of their support would have funneled to him. And at least New Hampshire doesn't seem to be the case. Now, caveat, New Hampshire probably is going to be Trump's worst state in this primary, I would imagine, because New Hampshire, A, is a pretty purple state, right? Has pretty, like, even the Republican Party in New Hampshire is pretty liberal. And they also have a quasi-open primary system where if you're undecided, you can vote in the party primary. So, like, Democrats can't vote in the Republican Party primary, but non-affiliated voters can.
Right.
So you would imagine that a lot of left-leaning independents, if they're voting in the Republican primary, are going to be voting for Nikki Haley. So that aside, like with those caveats aside, Donald Trump should probably still be performing better than he is right now.
Yeah. Yeah, look, this just coasting over 50%, it's not a good look, man. It's not a good look. And it'll be really interesting. I have to imagine Nikki Haley hangs on to Super Tuesday. If she doesn't even win any states in Super Tuesday, and that's definitely a possibility, by the way. I think that's actually most likely.
It's about likelihood, more than a possibility. So.
Right. But if she can keep him just over 50%, I know the sort of conservative – argument will be, you know, a win is a win. Trump won. He dominated the entire thing. But if she can keep him under wraps, he's in danger. He's in real danger coming out of Super Tuesday with just barely over 50% in most of these states. And I think that's a very real possibility, because it seems like over the last like 2 weeks, especially coming off of last week's Iowa caucus, a lot of Republicans are becoming much more vocal, and I don't just mean Republican politicians. I mean also Republican voters seem to be much more vocal about the idea of, like, this guy hurts us at the top of the ticket. We are really not huge fans of having him be representative of us going into this 2024 race. And look, that doesn't mean that Republican politicians aren't saying this. They're just as loud. So it's I think this race, if he doesn't beat her, I would argue if he doesn't get, and I don't see this happening, if he doesn't capture 70% of the vote here, which would mean he would have to run the table.
Which he won't. I mean, that's not – there's no way.
Right. But he should be at least in the 70s against Nikki Haley at this point. But yeah. But your point is very valid, which is you would think – Vivek and Tim Scott, and Ron DeSantis, what all of their power get pushed to him, he should be dominating over Nikki Haley, and he's not. Like, mm-hmm. he should be kicking the shit out of her, and he's not. I mean, there's right now, there's she's still within 10 points of him, where it should be she's nowhere close to him, right? So
Now that being said, I know you're saying, you know, you think that with a strong showing, even if she doesn't win, Haley will stay until Super Tuesday. I don't know, because if she doesn't win this primary, and again, the race has already been called that she won't, what is her true path to victory? Like, because it's that's the thing. Like, it's hard to justify staying in and spending money when the path to victory is not there. And not that Nikki Haley minds about spending money, but there's going to come a point where people that are donating to her campaign are not just going to keep throwing money at a lost cause. Like, that's not going to happen.
Right.
So I think there's a very real possibility, if Trump wins, which again it's been called that he will, that she'll have to pull out anyway, because a lot of that money is going to dry up, because a month between now and the next primary is a long time, and a lot of air that needs to be filled, and a lot of events that need to happen, and a lot of cash that needs to get spent to facilitate those things. A lot of doors that have to get knocked in several different states, and so on and so forth, that it's hard to do if you don't have money coming in consistently.
Yeah. Look, I think that is fair. Her plan may not be, I guess it matters in how craven of a politician she is, right? Mm-hmm. Is her plan to run the board and say, like, listen, like, he's not going to pick her for VP, right? That is not going to happen. There's no way. I heard an interesting suggestion, which I think makes a lot of sense, by the way, and I'll talk about it. But he's not going to pick her. So she could be on some sort of just general vengeance type shit of like, mm-hmm. let me just try to fuck this guy over and drag. I'm the last woman standing type of thing. Let me see how far I can drag this guy along. If that's the case, then I think she stays into Super Tuesday. I think dropping out now, I think there are probably people behind her with significant amount of money are like, we need you to keep fighting. And look, mm-hmm. they may want him to be weak. They may want him to be weak. I don't even think that's that much of a conspiracy theory. They may want him to be weak so that they can try to guarantee that he doesn't win. Look, I know you got all these Republicans who are like, you know, I don't think Trump's very good, but I prefer him over Joe Biden. I don't think they fucking do, dude. Like, I really don't think they do. I think there's rhetoric that is said on television, and I get that. You got to say the rhetoric for your party. But I think those guys know that the last thing they want is that guy dragging that party further. Yeah, look, okay, let's say he wins. What does your party look like after a Donald Trump presidency? Another 4 years of this? It's destroyed. Mm-hmm. It's destroyed. If we have democracy at all. And I think a lot of them are well aware that there is a democracy issue, right? Democracy is, in fact, on the ballot. So I'm not saying there's like all the Republicans are like, we secretly want Joe Biden. No, there's plenty of those idiots who think, oh, how bad could it be with another 4 years of Trump, right? I think that's most of them. But I do think there are some of them who go, him being the weakest going in, probably not the worst. And I could totally see them mm-hmm. spending the money to just try to just cripple him as much as they could going in to a general primary against Biden. Look, the Republican Party is a lot of things. Devious is one of them. Like, even if it's their own, they can be. So I would not be surprised if they were okay with handicapping him a little bit. Some of them. I'm not saying all. But a decent portion of them are cool with it, so they can get this guy the fuck out of there. Like, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think that that's a very optimistic view of the average Republican. I think that most Republicans.
Oh, no. I didn't say average. I didn't say the average Republican. Okay. I'm talking about some of these sort of back dealing Republican politicians. I'm not talking about your average Republicans.
Well, the problem is that I would say that your general, like most Republicans, would take winning over anything. Like, it doesn't matter what's on the. What consequences you face from that, as long as you win, because they can always equivocate with themselves, right? And Democrats do it too, to some extent. I mean, there's policies that we definitely punt on a little bit just to get a winner. in there instead of Republicans. So I'm not like casting shade, but like a lot of these guys be like, man, you know, I was joking with you and Andy, and we'll talk about Chris Sununu later in the podcast, but Chris Sununu was literally on Fox today, fucking dunking, like windmill dunking on Trump. And I said, watch him in a week, you know, come out and support him anyway, despite all the things that he just said, because it's like, well, you know, better him than Biden is what he'll say. And then like, there's another thing where like, Bob Good, who's the head of the Freedom Caucus, has been like dragging Trump for months and getting a lot of heat inside the House, inside the Republican Party. And he came out today or the other day and endorsed Trump. And he went on Meet the Press or whatever, and they're like, what about all these things you said? He's like, I didn't say any of that stuff. Like, bro, like, we have you on tape. like you have this recorded. Like, you can't just fucking flat out deny this shit. Like, Lordy, I hope there's tapes. There is.
Yeah.
We have you saying this.
Roll tape. Like, this is you. Look, I think that you are likely more correct than I am, but I don't trust them. Like, I don't trust them. And I think seeing how these guys operate and seeing how many enemies he's even made inside his own party, I would not be shocked if somebody was like, we got the money. Let's give a little bit more money. Just hang around till Super Tuesday. Now, after Super Tuesday, we're done. We're done, right? Like, but I think wounding him going into Super Tuesday, coming out of Super Tuesday, I think it's a very, very real possibility. We'll find out probably by tomorrow. I'm sure right after we post this fucking episode, because reasons, whether or not she drops out. But I think she's also like, knowing politicians and knowing those egos, I think she likes the idea of her being the last woman standing. And I think her dropping out after the second race is probably not a thing she wants to do. I think she wants to hang on till Super Tuesday.
But and to be clear, I do agree with you that Republicans, like a lot of Republicans, secretly fucking hate Trump. I know this to be a fact because as soon as these Republicans leave politics, all of a sudden they become brave and just start like the other day, like I saw a snippet of an interview with Paul Ryan and the interviewer was asking Paul Ryan, like, would you run for president again? And he's like, no, he's like, because like, it's clear, like the Republican Party, like they don't want what I have to sell at this point. Like the Republican voters, like I'm not the guy for them. Like, and I, like, I fucking hate Trump. I think he's fucking awful. Like he sucks. But that's not the message that they want to hear. So no, like I absolutely would not run for president because I would not have what would my constituency be if I ran for president? And I'm like, man, sure wish we could have had that honest Paul Ryan take back in fucking 2018. Yep. But when it mattered. So
yeah, because he's a coward. Right. I mean, they all are. I mean, look, whatever you want to say about Mitt Romney, like, and there's plenty of negative things. At least he said that shit. Like, of course he was like, I'm retiring. I mean, I'm retiring, but
right. Even before Romney, I mean, like again, January 6th, like famously fucking mean mugging Josh Hawley right behind him while Josh Hawley's giving some fucking speech on the floor on the Senate, like Romney, like fucking killing him with his eyes.
Yeah.
And again, voted to convict Trump of impeachment.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, he almost died. Like, he literally almost died. He almost died. Like, if that's not enough of a reason to go, you know what? Fuck that guy. Like, seriously. I'm not sure there's a better reason than that. But I don't know. You'd have to ask Mike Pence, who for some reason still thinks Trump's the bee's knees, you fucking clown. By the way, at 40% reporting, Trump at 53%, Nikki Haley at 45.9%.
So. Yeah, I mean that's probably about where it's going to end. It's going to probably be right around there. So,
but I think there needs to be an actual conversation in the media because I know they are desperate for a fucking horse race. But these are not good numbers. These are terrible, terrible numbers for him. So good, great, Graham. And look, I'm going to keep that. I'll keep this up on one of my tabs because we'll go back into that. Brad, did Biden win the?
Joe Biden, despite not being on the ballot in New Hampshire because the Democratic Party's official primary season starts in South Carolina on Super Tuesday, is projected to win by the AP on a write-in campaign even though, again, Joe Biden not even on the fucking ballot in the Democratic primary. Look, Dean Phillips, considering he's literally fighting, like shadow boxing against nobody, an impressive 20% from him. Maybe he can sit the fuck down after this is all over.
Yeah. Like, go knock it off. Like,
I saw a couple weeks ago, News Nation did a segment they called the interview that Democrats don't want you to see, with Dean Phillips, Marianne Williamson, and Cenk Uygur talking about their very serious campaign for the White House in 2024.
You just seem like clowns, Joe. You just seem like three fucking clowns. Look, if you're sitting next to Marianne Wilson and you're like, yeah, I've got a lot of smart things to say along with my fellow Democrat here, like, yo, she's not a serious candidate. Like, she's not. It's it's ridiculous. You should feel stupid because it is stupid.
What is Dean Phillips doing? Like, I can understand like having, I can understand having the opinion that like you're afraid that Biden would lose to Trump, even though there's no evidence to suggest that that would be the case outside of polling, which means nothing at this point in time. Right. But why do you think that you're the guy to be like, I'm the one that's going to lead the part, like me, this backbench fucking house guy.
Right, lead us into the fucking promised land. Like, okay, I mean,
that again, so. Me and Jay, who do a podcast weekly that focuses specifically on national politics, had never heard of Dean Phillips before Phillips ran for president. Yeah,
100% like, knock it off. It's very silly to me. It's incredibly silly. Whatever. Like, again, these are people you should just be like, All right. Can the adults like get in the room? Because this shit is fucking dumb. All right, man. Joe Biden beat you on a write-in. Like he Lisa Murkowski'd you. Like, and his name is easier to spell. And
it an advantage.
Yeah. Lisa Murkowski winning in Alaska is fucking insane. Like, they really like her up there, man. Like,
I have to imagine her campaign, her write-in campaign was just like radio jingles that are like Murkowski.
Yeah, 100%. They really had, they had to like mattress.com that shit or 1-800 mattresses or whatever. Like, they needed like buy men and like they had to have something like
Murkowski.
Like, that's it. Yeah, there's like people at the like voting. You hear all these like Murkowski, like yeah, I got it. Yes. That's our girl. Like, that's amazing. That is amazing.
You were just stuck in my head. Like I just Murkowski. Like every time I thought about it.
So funny. We don't have an eulogy or anything.
No. And frankly, he's not crab rave worthy on this show.
No, he's not. Not yet. Not yet.
No, I mean there will come a day when he is, but today is not that day.
Even if the show doesn't exist, I will start it up again. I will. I will leave this RSS feed up, and I will come on just to play that. Got him. Shut it down. Ron DeSantis ends his 2024 presidential campaign and endorses Donald Trump.
Of course he does.
Yeah, so after his big flop, coming in second place in Iowa, immediately after we posted our episode last week, he was like, guys, I was just kidding. Take these boots off.
So apparently the story is he wanted to go to South Carolina. And his PAC, who was running his campaign, again, not a great idea to have your super PAC run your campaign. His super PAC was like, "We're gonna shut it down, and we control the purse strings." So, Oof,
disaster.
You better call Elon back up and maybe have another Twitter Spaces where you can announce the end of your presidential campaign.
Yeah, look, I think most people saw this coming. Like, once things got started, and it was like, oh, people don't fuck with Ron DeSantis like that outside of his little mini cult of people in Florida. He was never going to be able to pull the Trump cult away from Trump.
Yes.
He could not out-Trump Trump. You can't beat Trump from the right. It doesn't work. The only way you can put damage on Trump is from the left. And, like, Haley tried that. And it worked for a little bit. And then someone asked her about the Civil War, and then her campaign blew up. so I guess I'm not – I don't think anybody is particularly surprised. I think people are surprised that he's ending his campaign as early as he is, considering he was, like, the guy that was supposedly going to take down Trump.
To be fair, we all thought that before we got to see him, like, in the field. Because remember, like, when he was running for Florida governor, we didn't get to see him, like, campaigning. Right. Like we might have caught the odd debate clip here or there or the odd interview here or there, but we didn't really get to see him on the campaign trail. And as we found out with Ron DeSantis, he is probably one of the worst retail politicians in the history of man.
He's completely really not odious. Good at this, man. Like
completely odious.
It's because he's fake. Like who he is is fake. Like, he don't want to be there. Like, he don't want to be there. We had talked about, I think that guy has some serious, like, super introvert or social anxiety or something like that. Why he got into politics, I'll never understand. But he is not a guy who is going to be shaking hands at a diner, talking to people about their problems, you know, shining them on a little bit, making them feel all warm and fuzzy. It's just not who he is. And look, that's irrespective of his actual policies that are garbage, but like his ability to be human, it don't work, right? Like we used to make fun of Ted Cruz, you know, he's just like a giant cockroach in a human suit. But I think Ron DeSantis also wears a human suit as well. Like I think he suffers from the same affliction and is somehow worse. Like Ted Cruz has become like weirdly more human over time. Still like
Ted Cruz was like always like human but awkward all the time. Like that was his thing. Like Ron DeSantis literally didn't know he's literally like Ricky Bobby in The Interviewer. It's like I don't know what to do with my hands. Like they're just kind of creeping up.
it's weird. But it says a lot in how this guy was seen. And again, you're right. Like we didn't know what he was going to be like until we saw it, right? But it's weird to think that this guy that Republican politicians knew and had met, who was like a charisma black hole, could beat a guy who, for all intents and purposes, inside the Republican Party is like the fucking sun. That guy, like they just are attracted to Trump. They're like, oh, you're so charismatic. You say things are so interesting. Interesting. But like, oh my God, like you're so amazing. This guy's a black hole. Like, did you think that guy could beat that guy? Like a lot of politics is just being the attractive option. Not even policy wise. Just like when people shake your hand, they're like, this guy's fucking electric. Right. It's a thing that Hillary Clinton lacked. It's a thing that a lot of politicians who you see rise and then they get on like the presidential stage and they just don't have it. Like
Bob Dole lacked it. Yeah. Bob Dole like was a perfectly cromulent senator, and when he had to stand up on the stage against Bill Clinton,
never. JFK versus Nixon, same thing. Nixon is a dirtbag piece of shit, but he was more of a technocrat, right? Like that's just kind of who he was. You can't put him up against JFK, who was just like, hey, everybody, I'm the coolest motherfucker here. And people were just like, I like the cool guy. Like they just do. Like that's a part of politics. And again, whether you think that JFK's policies were better or that Nixon's policies were better, come on. It's a fucking stupid question. But, you know, irrespective of those things, they radiate a level of like just charisma. Obama has it in spades. Clinton didn't have it. It's part of the reason he beat her. Like it just is, right? Like their policies weren't even that far apart. Like they really are not, which was weird when people were like, fuck Obama. I'm going to stick with Hillary. It's like, all right, now Hillary lost. Like, I don't know if I want to vote for Obama. It's the just the same fucking policy. You're running
for the same thing, yeah.
you just got your feelings hurt in a primary. That's all it is. Like, get over it. But another prime example of this, I mean, she's a bit of a dork, right? I love her, but she's a bit of a dork. Elizabeth Warren versus Michael Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg is a technocrat. He doesn't have any fucking charisma. That's why when Elizabeth Warren needed to detonate a fucking grenade on top of his head, she was able to do it quite easily. Right? But she has more charisma than him. So, look, Biden may seem like he doesn't have a lot of charisma now because he's 1,000 years old, right? Like, Methuselah didn't seem like he had a lot of charisma either by the end. But younger Joe Biden had a lot of fucking charisma. And people remember that. I mean, look, if you're a young voter – and this is the only Biden you're like, really? No? Go back and watch that debate between him and Paul Ryan, or the debate between him and Sarah Palin a couple years ago. Dude, he was a different guy. Yeah. You're like, I like this guy. This guy is dunking on Paul Ryan. Holy shit. Like, it was amazing. But he has a lot of charisma, and that's why he stuck around too. So, yeah, to see Ron DeSantis go down and then you look at the charisma factor, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, I think DeSantis' other problem is that he couldn't introduce like new tracks to the playlist. Like, he kept kind of just kind of relying on the same shit. And even came up in his concession speech, I guess, where why is he still talking about Anthony Fauci? Anthony Fauci's not in government anymore. Yeah. He's retired. Shit was 4 years ago. Like, bro, why are you still talking about him? Why are you obsessed with this guy still to this day? It's weird.
Like, dude, nobody cares about Anthony Fauci. Like, no one.
Yeah.
Except for, like, Mama Fauci, his wife, I guess. Like, I don't know. Nobody gives a fuck about him. I mean, I wish him well, but, like, dude, we have moved on.
I think DeSantis' thought process was if he hung around long enough and Trump got caught up in a conviction,
100%.
That maybe there would be an avenue for him. I guess that was his only thought, if I could just stick around long enough to see him get convicted, then maybe there might be a lane that I can go in.
Right. By the way, I'm glad you brought that up. I hadn't thought about that. But that also could be Haley's reason for sticking around too. Like, if she can be like, if I could just get this fraud case over the hump, like by Super Tuesday, then like I may be able to garner a little. Look, she only needs, if she wins a couple of states, she's back in, right? Like, even if there's no path, people are going to get excited about it. But we'll see, because
poor DeSantis. So, like, you know, Trump happily embracing Vivek Ramaswamy, you know, had him as a campaign event. DeSantis drops out. What does Trump say at a rally? He's like, you know, Ron DeSantis like dropped out. We got the endorsement, didn't really need it, but we got it. And I'm officially retiring. I'm officially retiring the name Ron DeSanctimonious is what he said.
Dude, that's hilarious. Got the endorsement. Didn't really need it. Like, why do you trust this guy, dude? Every chance he gets, he will kick you in the teeth, dude. Like, he does not go for it. Amazing. I had not seen that quote. That's awesome. On some planet, like Earth 2, he's just a stand-up. He's just a political stand-up comedian doing an interview, right? And I'm like, this guy
the only successful right wing comic in the world.
And it's just like, you know what, this guy's actually he's right up there with Bill Engvall. So
is Bill Engvall really even a right winger?
I don't know. That guy sucks though. Like, he's definitely
does.
He is fucking terrible. All right, let's take a quick break and come right back. Okay, so this next story is kind of a big deal, right? And I've got a hot take, Brad.
You have a hot take. I thought you had the clip of that Nikki Haley reacted to.
Which one? I have two.
Oh, you have two. Well, let's play it for the people. Then you can deliver your hot take.
Okay, so the whole conversation here is that Donald Trump is cognitively losing it, right? This is all over the media, social media, all this. And people are really talking about it. So this is – Donald Trump is challenging Nikki Haley to an aptitude test. So here you go.
So Nikki Haley says now she has the two-person race that she's always wanted. She has been coming after you strongly in the past few days. It's worked both ways, and you've come after her as well. She keeps bringing up your age lately. What do you say about that?
Well, I think I'm a lot sharper than her. I would do this. I would sit down right now and take an aptitude test, and it would be my result against her result, and she's not going to win. She's not going to even come close to winning. In fact, when I heard the word cognitive, you know, I've taken two of them now. I took one with Doc Ronnie, who's now a fantastic, you know, White House doctor, and a fantastic congressman from Texas, Admiral, the White House doctor, Jackson, Ronnie Jackson. And he's now a great congressman from Texas. I took one then, and I took one recently. I think the result was announced, and it was, I aced it twice. I aced it. But I would say that, you know, I've actually called for a cognitive test for anybody running for president, because I actually think that's a good idea. It'd be nice to have an intelligent person be president.
Haley has too, I believe. So how do you?
Okay, so that's one. Okay, that's one of the videos. I find, I'm trying to think, should I play the other video first before I give my hot take?
Because I'd like to say Donald Trump has one up on me, because I have never taken a cognitive test while I've been an adult. That could also be because I don't have brain damage, nor am I senile.
Dude, I saw a headline. Donald Trump says he took a cognitive test, was successful in identifying a whale.
was it just a mirror that was pasted on the page?
Yeah, no kidding. It's like,
I know what that is.
He's like, it's one of those ocean birds, right? The whales of the sky. That guy's a fucking idiot. So let me play this other clip of him. This is another one that's making the rounds that people are saying, like, I don't know about this guy. Yeah, I think it's losing a couple. A bit of speed on that fastball. So here you go.
Well, these are not muscle guys here. They're muscle guys up here, right? And they calmly walk to a seat. Ding, 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 ding. They've only got 17 seconds to figure this whole thing out, right? Boom. Okay. Missile launch. Pshing, boom. It's the most un... And-
what?
What? And what's funny is you didn't even play the clip that really started all of this. All of this discussion, because the thing that started all of this is he was at a rally in New Hampshire over the weekend.
Oh,
and Nikki. He kept saying, like he made it a point to say, like, over and over again, Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley. And then like Nikki Haley, like, you know, we offered her, January 6th was her fault, because we offered her all the National Guard and she declined it. But no one blames Nikki Haley for January 6th. And clearly he was confusing her with Nancy Pelosi.
Well, and then right, and then Biden, they put out, Biden's campaign put out an ad, and they were like, you know what, we agree with Nikki Haley, she's no Nancy Pelosi, which was fucking awesome. Look, here's my hot take. Everybody's talking about this. Oh, he's in cognitive decline. Look at all these clips. Blah 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 blah. I don't think that's fair. Let me finish. I don't think it's fair. I think it's kind of fucked up. And here's why I think it's fucked up, in all sincerity. Where have you been for 6 years? He's been in cognitive fucking decline. He's been in cognitive decline.
6 years.
All right, fair. 20? I don't know. Like, it's been a long time. He was saying insane things during the 2016 race. He was saying things that didn't make any sense, and his unbelievable misunderstanding of things in 2016. I have the best words? What? I know, quote, I know words, I have the best words. This is an intelligent person to you. This is a person whose brain isn't completely riddled with what can only be categorized by the Raging Cajun as the clap, which was awesome. That clip is so good. If I can find that James Carville clip, I will play it on the show. It is amazing. So, like, this guy, like, the media is now catching up to this idea. And I mean this quite sincerely, catching up to this idea that Donald Trump may not be, like, have all his mental faculties. He hasn't.
You think?
He didn't have them when he was president. He didn't. And I'm not even trying to just be a dick about it. He didn't. He was not well then. He has not been well, especially during the Biden administration, and he's not well now. There's video of him sort of kind of dragging his back leg. This guy isn't well. He's not. He hasn't, I would argue, he hasn't been well for a long time, but I would say there has been an absolute major difference between Trump running in the beginning of 2015 into the 2016 race and after he almost died of COVID. It is a big difference. And if you go back and watch those videos of him and him talking and everything else, he isn't fucking all there. He's not. He doesn't stand on his own now. There's images of him standing like on a mat that keeps him kind of upright. Dude, there is a major problem. And people on the right and like idiots like Joe Rogan and all those other guys make excuses for him. And now all of a sudden, because he can't stop slurring his words and all this other shit and saying things that are so unbelievably crazy, everyone's like, hey, I don't know. Maybe this Trump guy's not well. He hasn't been well. And it's, well, and it's the media's fault that's frustrating for fucking covering for him. It's ridiculous.
The thing that's also frustrating to me is that – and this is not just on the right. I mean, they're the ones that are driving it right now. But as soon as you talk about like Trump's cognitive decline, there's a significant portion of people – that are just like, well, you know, Biden's the same way. And it's like, not at all. Like Biden is a normal guy in his early 80s. Does that mean that he's still throwing fucking 98 to every batter? No, obviously not. But he's not like he doesn't seem senile.
No, he doesn't.
You know what I mean? Like he may seem a little subdued sometimes. We know he has a fucking, stuttering issue that he's talked about
openly,
but he's not fucking just going off on ridiculous tangents or just talking about some fucking nonsense at any point.
I don't like this idea of we can't just be open and honest that like, yes, while both of these guys are old, one of them is seriously mentally losing it, dude. Like he is. I know it's an easy joke. Oh, Biden doesn't know what's going on up there. Nah, dude, you mistake a speech impediment for intelligence. Like, again, has he lost speed on that fastball? Yes. Is he too fucking old to be president? I agree, yes. But this is who you have. Like, what are you going to put fucking Cenk Uygur on there? I don't see him coming up with 1.1% in New Hampshire. No, nothing, zero, right? So, like, Phillips, Marianne Williamson? No. Like, so knock it the fuck off. But at the same time, be honest about what you're seeing. And this is not a new – this is not a like a some new thing. It's just not. Like this dude is having a serious fucking problem. And I just hate that everyone's like, I don't know. This is all new. It's not new. It absolutely is not new.
Again, the way that I've said it before and I'll say it again, if Trump was your grandfather and he carried on like this – normally day in and day out, right, you'd be finding ways to fucking steal his driver's license out of his wallet.
Yeah. Like you wouldn't be trying to hand this guy the reins to control the largest democracy in the world. The biggest, military superpower. You would not be doing that. That's crazy. But that's what the Republican Party is aiming to do. And it's fucking nuts. Like I think the unfairness here is that we are sitting here trying to pretend like this guy has not been insane since fucking forever. Like it's just crazy to me. Look,
I commend Nikki Haley for finally saying something about it publicly, to her supporters and stuff like that. It's about fucking time. Like, where you been to your point that you said earlier? And you don't have to equivocate it. You don't have to equivocate with Biden. I mean, I guess that's useful to her politically. Right. But
like the reality is like Joe Biden, like, and this is what drives me crazy about like the right wing. Joe Biden missed, using the, like, stuttering over a word or, you know, slightly using a word. Like, I'm not mad if Trump, like, he said things that I'm like, well, that was, he meant clearly this, that. That's one thing. I don't get mad at that. I don't use those as gotchas. That's dumb. And it is juvenile to me. But when you're completely misunderstanding context, who was president, like, why we, you know, why we won the Revolutionary War, things like that. Those are fundamental things that you are mixing up in your head because there is something going on. That's very
By the way, and he's even trying to run cover for this now because I saw a clip of him the other day, you know, when they were – because now that this is a discussion topic, he's like, oh, no. He's like, when, you know, people know that when I say, you know, when I talk about the Obama presidency, how we beat Obama and we're running against Obama now, that I secretly mean – that, you know, Obama's actually secretly running things
right
now. I'm just like, no. Like, people don't know that. That's what you mean.
They don't know that because you're fucking lying. Like, you're just lying. Yeah. Look, just say you misspoke. But that's a whole part of, like, his personality is he can never admit that he's incorrect about anything. If you ever hear him – like, this is how I know, by the way, that it's not on purpose or some shit like that. If you go back to 2016 and watch speeches of his, when he says the wrong word, he realizes that he says the wrong word and he just moves the sentence in a way to act like that was the right word he chose, right? Because he can't admit, he can't go, oh, I'm sorry, I meant to say blah, 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 like I meant to say X instead of Y, like normal people say. He doesn't do that. He will, like, his brain will sit and then autocorrect it, and then he'll, like, fashion a sentence to be like, and that's what I meant by that. Like, and he'll say it in real time. He doesn't do that now because he doesn't actually realize he's fucking up. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference. And look, you don't have to believe me. Go back and watch shit from 2016. He did it all the time. It's a way he has of speaking that he can never admit to making a fault. So what he does is he purposely will gear the conversation. He'll move it so that what he said, quote unquote, makes sense in that moment. He did it all that. We talked about that. I remember having distinct conversations about how weird his speech pattern is because that's what he does. He doesn't do that anymore because he doesn't realize he's fucking up. Now, very serious way to end this conversation is to play James Carville saying that Donald Trump has syphilis.
To the Drudge Report, and I think it'll still be up, there's a story that talks about Trump having hand cuts, and you can link to it. They don't look like cuts to me. They look like sores. And I've asked a number of MDs what medical condition manifests itself through hand sores, and the answer is immediate and unanimous: secondary syphilis. All right, I think there's a good chance this man has the clap. I'm not being particularly secretive about it. I am texting the photo. You can link to it. It's in some operation called the Daily Mail. It's some British thing. It's probably a Fleet Street rag, but. You know, maybe the picture was doctored or whatever, but maybe this story will go somewhere, maybe it won't. But I'm telling you, at 1 o'clock Eastern, I'm humping this thing like a young dog on old furniture.
Dude.
It's just the way, like the way he just said, like the clap. it fucking gets me every time.
I love that.
I'm a simple like man.
I love that. I'm humping this thing like an old or a young dog on old furniture. Like, yo, he's so fucking Southern. It's amazing. Look, whatever you think about James Carville, and there's plenty to not like about him, the dude is a fucking riot. Like, he is. He's an absolute fucking riot. But yeah, I think the cognitive decline thing is very real. I've thought so for a while. I think it's ridiculous that we have people covering for this shit. Chris Sununu was on Fox, whatever that show is, with that black lady who acts like every other dumb blonde on Fox. And he's like, look, this guy is not the guy he was in 2016. Like, he has lost speed on that fastball, basically, right? Like, this guy is not... He's not as sharp as he was in 2016. This is not the Donald Trump of old. And he says, I wish I had the clip. He says, he's almost 80 years old. She jumps in and goes, he's 77. And he goes, yeah, that's close to 80. We'll do math later. And she's like, oh, oh, like laughing up. Like, why are you jumping out in front of a fucking bullet for this guy? He is almost 80. The problem is you have to admit that to your audience, who's probably over 80. Yeah. By the way, that's got to be weird, right? Like, you're a Trump guy or a Trump, you know, Trump supporter, and you're watching Fox News all the time where they're just shitting on Joe Biden for being old. You're old. Like, it's the Seinfeld thing. Like, you're bald. Like, you're the same. You're just as old as he is, if not older than him. So it's like, it's so weird that she's like, no, he's 77. Yeah, Joe Biden's old. So is Donald Trump. Like, he's not 50, dude. Like, knock it off. It's pathetic. All right. So, yeah, let's talk about the SCOTUS here. This is an interesting story. Supreme Court, in a 5-4 vote, which is really, really discouraging, says that Texas can't block federal agents from basically cutting razor wire at the Texas border because that's what they were doing. Apparently, 4 Supreme Court justices don't know how the law works.
Bet I can name 3 of them.
I bet you can. Bet you fucking can with no problem. So yeah, I mean over the last number of weeks. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas has been basically like, listen, we would shoot migrants, but the federal government won't let us. They're real sticks in the mud. It's like, surely there's a tree you could stand under in a storm. Like, it's just unbelievable, like, the level of cruelty that this guy just promotes about hurting migrants and shit like that. It's absolutely crazy to me. So, yeah, the Supreme Court was like, yeah, man, the federal government can definitely come in and be like, you can't have razor wire here because some of these people are suffering in their other countries and they're trying to seek asylum. You can't just, like, you're not going to build your own border wall. Like, that's just not how that's going to fucking work.
Well, and the thing is that the fucking federal government controls the border. Like, it's literally run by the Department of Homeland Security, period.
So you say, Brett. So you say.
Well, so the Supreme Court says and has said for many a year. But I mean, and look, I can understand why Republicans might be surprised, considering that this specific court has made a habit over just fucking throwing legal precedent in the garbage can. But you know, I guess there's some precedents that still remain important to them in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Well. More on that later when you get to your other story, because that one is fucking terrifying, and it probably will not go 5-4 the way we hope, unfortunately.
I guarantee you that it won't, but we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing. Republicans are now advocating for saying, fuck the Supreme Court. Do what we want. These guys stole Supreme Court justice seats. They held out on Supreme Court justice seats when Democrats were in power so that they could steal, what, 2 or 3 seats at this point?
Three.
And they get them on there. They rig it so it's a fucking a court all their own. And then they don't get something they like. What's their first response? Fuck the court. I don't even understand the argument for not stacking the court at this point. Like, even if these guys get their way on everything, the second they don't on one thing, they don't believe in the Supreme Court. Fuck the Supreme Court. See, let them enforce it. All right, cool. Then just stack the fucking Supreme Court. Fuck them.
Either that or, like we've talked about in the past, like, oh, we want to start just ignoring Supreme Court rulings? Okay, like, I don't think you actually want that to happen, but if that's the game you want to play, like, we'll be more than happy to crack down draconically on firearm laws in states that don't feel like having that shit across the country.
Oh, are you a state where they say you can, you know, the abortion, you know, issue is there? Fuck them. Look, if you don't have to follow the Supreme Court, on the federal level, do you really have to support the Supreme Court on a state level? Right? The state Supreme Courts. Is it really that big of a deal? Do we really even need laws? Is basically what it comes down to. Just do what you want. If you're upset, just do what you want. Right? That's the Republican motto. Representative Chip Roy, literally a person in the House of Representatives, called for Texas lawmakers to ignore the Supreme Court ruling, allowing the Biden administration to remove razor wire installed to prevent migrant crossing at the border. Quote, there is no exception to that. And if the Supreme Court wants to ignore that truth, which a slim majority did, then Texas still had the duty. Texas leaders still have the duty to defend their people. Roy added, it's like if someone's breaking into your house and the court says, oh, sorry, you can't defend yourself. What do you tell the court? You tell the court to go to hell, defend yourself, and then figure it out later. See, here's the problem with that analogy. These are people coming across the border for safety. They're not attacking you. So it's not about defending your house and, you know, pulling out a gun and taking them down. These people aren't harming you. Now, you could say, oh, there's some unsavory characters that come across the border. I agree. I'm not so naive to pretend that doesn't happen. There's drugs that come across the border. I'm not naive enough to believe that doesn't happen. However, you don't have to go shooting. You don't have – this is not an existential threat to your home. It's not. It's not. If it was, then why aren't you already shooting across the border, right? Because there was no border wall before,
well,
yet you were fine.
That's an act of war. I don't know if that would fly.
No, but if these guys don't give a fuck about that. But they don't give a fuck about that, right? Right? So the reality is
wouldn't it be needed for Republicans who claim to really be serious about immigration actually did things to make immigration laws stronger to help expedite the immigration process so that claims can be processed in an expedited manner, you know, and stop the logjam that requires people to illegally cross at the Rio Grande. Oh, wait, never mind. They don't want to do that because it's politically useful for them to have these crossings happening.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because what is happening right now in Congress, right? Right now in the Senate, like you hear so little about the Senate, by the way, these days, because nothing gets out of the House because Republicans are literally arguing with themselves. My wife asked me the other day, she goes, who's the Senate majority leader? And it took me, I couldn't remember. I was like, I think it's Chuck Schumer. Like, because I don't talk about the Senate. Schumer, I don't talk about the Senate at all. When is the last time we had a conversation about what the Senate is doing? Nothing.
It's a fair point.
About it. We don't talk about them because everything is a mess in the House, right? So nothing gets pushed up. So in the Senate, there are Democrats and Republicans. Dan Crenshaw is one of them. You know, the porn assassin guy, right? Like, he's one of the guys who's like, we have a comprehensive border security, like immigration bill. We have one. If we can get the Republicans in the House to sign off on this, we can get border security. He said, listen, people are complaining, like this is to paraphrase him. People are complaining that this might help Joe Biden. I don't care because I think that these things are so good that I think ultimately it will help Donald Trump. This is Dan Crenshaw saying this.
Yeah.
Democrats are in support of this, right? It tightens border security and all this other stuff, but it's not draconian. Like, no. But it's not a perfect bill. And I don't think either side is like in love with it, but it is a, you know, Tip O'Neill type fucking, you know, compromise, right? You come to the middle a little bit, right? Democrats and Republicans are for this. You know who's not for it? Donald Trump is not for it. You know why he's not for it? Because he needs it to argue against going into 2024.
Nor does he want to hand Joe Biden a political win heading into 2024.
No, but he needs to rail against it. It's not even so much. I don't necessarily think giving Biden a win is the problem because people don't ever remember anything the Democrats do that actually is positive. They just don't. They just like Americans have like just a black spot in their mind. It's like, oh, did a Democrat do that? Cool. I totally fucking forgot it. Which is why you like Americans are like goldfish. You gotta drop that shit like the day before election day. Like weed's legal. Like and then like that. Go to the polls, right? They remember that shit for a week. But Trump doesn't want it because he needs something to rail against. What are you gonna rail against? The economy? Listen to what Trump said 2 weeks ago. I want the economy to fail. I want the stock market to fail before I get in.
Yeah.
Because he needs something to rail against. And he knows how much can he rail against the stock market right now. The second he does it, fucking, you know, the people from like, you know, like Jamie Dimon are going to be like, pardon me, shit's riding fine for us. I don't know what this guy's fucking talking about.
I mean, fuck's sake, Trump's out here during stump speeches telling fucking Congress, like, you got to shut the government down. You got to shut it down. Like, really? Like, you think that's a good idea, buddy? I don't think so.
He needs something to rail against because he's in a world of trouble. He doesn't have anything to push against. In 2016, he had the Clinton machine to push against. In 2020, he had, you know, Joe Biden. Why hasn't Joe Biden gotten anything done to push against? And it didn't work, right? He doesn't have anything to push against. Like, Biden's old. You're old. By the way, you notice that? Oh, sleepy Joe Biden. But he never pushes on the fact that he's old. He's sleepy. But he never pushes on the fact that he's old, right? He can't push against that too hard. Because people are going to like, well, dude, you're 77. That's fucking old, right? He needs something to push against. He needs the border to push against. What is the number one reason that Republicans are pretending that they want to take Joe Biden off the ballot? The border. He needs something to push against. Republicans need something to push against. Senate Republicans are like, we don't need to push against this. Like, we don't.
By the way, it's gonna be really fun when the dude who campaigned on Build the Wall in 2016 and then told us in 2020 that, you know, they built the wall and has been saying, like, yeah, we got the wall done, is probably going to campaign on Build the Wall once he gets into the general election campaign season.
You think he's going to pull out Build the Wall? Oh, my God. That is pathetic. But yep. You're probably right.
Yeah.
Keep building the wall. And it doesn't go
well. Rebuild the wall. They tore it down. We got to rebuild it.
Like, what evidence is there? Just making this shit up, man. But it's just unbelievable that even Republicans are like, we kind of need something to get done here. And look, that goes right into the next story. So we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to jump right into the Republicans are fucking terrified of 2024. They legitimately are, and they would tell you that. And there's quotes. So we'll be right back in a moment. Okay, so this is a really interesting article in the New Republic. Republicans are saying, quote, we will pay the price for not doing anything. They don't have any accomplishments. They, too, have nothing to push against, right? Like when you're running as a normal politician, you want to be pushing against what your opponent is not doing. And you want to be using what you have done as a fucking like as a weapon to beat your opponent over the head with.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have anything.
Yeah.
They don't have anything, right? So House Republicans are getting increasingly frustrated at their caucus's inability to draft laws and enact change. By the way, listen to that sentence. House Republicans are getting increasingly frustrated at their caucus.
Yeah.
It's funny because are fucking them over.
It's funny because I glanced through this article and there's quotes in here from all sides of the Republican caucus.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny to me because it's basically like the equivalent of the Spider-Man meme, essentially.
Yeah, Andy Biggs. Who is fucking this up? You, dude. You. Like you and the rest of you nutbags on the Freedom Caucus. Like,
well, and there's a quote in here from Patrick McHenry, famous short king, bow tie wearing, former kind of Speaker of the House for a couple weeks thing.
We want you to take the job. And I'll quit first.
Yeah. and he says in this interview that Mike Johnson, the current Speaker of the House, needs to get a grip on the fact that Republicans, quote, control one third of the negotiations So we're not going to get 100% of the wins. This is something that Jay and I have been talking about forever. Like, Republicans are acting like, in the House, are acting like they run the government. You don't. Anything that you want to pass has to get by a democratically controlled Senate, and then it has to get signed by a Democratic president. So if you if you don't want to pass shit that's going to be able to get that signature, then yeah, you're not going to do anything. You're going to do a whole lot of fucking nothing.
Whole lot of nothing. And it look good. If you want to run, if you want to jump into 2024 saying we ain't found shit, by all means, dude. Like, if you think that's going to work for you, go ahead. Go ahead. But they are rightfully terrified.
Holy shit. So so this Congress was started in 2023.
January 2023. I know exactly which paragraph you're looking at.
Yeah. Go ahead. So this Congress, and again, this is because of the House, because there's no gridlock in the Senate, has passed fewer than 30 bills so far. That is literally less than 3 bills per month getting passed out of Congress. The previous Congress, the full Democrat trifecta Congress, with a slim majorities maybe not in the House, but certainly in the Senate, slim majorities, passed over 300, 10 times.
Yeah.
That amount.
Again, a Republican looking at this, a Republican voter would go, yeah, but they were all terrible bills. All of it.
Yeah.
These 30 bills were really good. Like, they renamed a couple of post offices. It was awesome. These guys don't do shit. These guys don't do shit.
No.
And the fundamental problem here is they can't do shit because of exactly that, what that sentence I reread to you is. Their own caucus, they can't agree on anything. You have hired nothing but bomb throwers and a bunch of extremists and a bunch of clowns who aren't really there to govern. They're not really there to write laws. They're not really there to pass anything. They're there to make their a name for themselves on so they can go on some nut brand TV show. They're there to just gum up the works, or they're just like money grubbing and they're there to do insider trading, right? We're all three.
Well, what's the old adage? You know, Republicans will campaign for months on how government doesn't work, and then they get elected and show you.
Yeah. Yeah. This place sucks. Check this out. Watch this drive, right?
And by the way, like, we're seeing this not only with the inaction of this Congress, we're seeing it on other issues too. Like, I saw a clip today, a fucking Trey Gowdy.
The goat of
haircut. Who's still has that haircut for some reason. Talking about, like, he was talking about the abortion bills that a lot of Republican states were passing. And he's like, look, he's like, my party needs to understand that our vote, like, voters don't want to see, like, doctors and you know, people that are assisting, you know, mothers get abortions, go to prison. Like, they don't want to see that. That's not what people want to see happen. No. And they're going too far to the extreme on this stuff, and it's going to turn off potential voters from wanting to vote for us. And I'm like, holy shit, Trey Gowdy makes an amazing point. What the fuck? What universe are we living in? It's one where Trey Gowdy is not running for anything, so you can be honest.
You can be honest. Right. it is amazing to me that they don't see what's coming. Or maybe they do. I don't know. Like, you don't realize that we are in it. We, like, as a country, you're at a dividing point. And I don't mean like civil war type of shit. Maybe, but probably not. But you're in a situation where, like, that abortion plan, like, I'm going to lock up doctors and all that. You know what that'll do, right? Like, it's not going to cause a civil war. It'll just cause you to not have doctors in these big swaths of your state. Where people are just like, nope, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm getting a medical degree to then go to some fucking backwoods hillbilly state where these people don't think abortions make sense when the woman's about to die. No. And I'm not saying that in, like, an anti-South thing. I'm talking about backwards hillbilly, like, pick a state, dude. It doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. Anybody who doesn't believe in, like, basic science and medicine at this point.
Especially when there's probably a more liberal state pretty close by that they can go to instead.
Yeah, but these people will not get educated and stay in your state. There will be brain drain. We're already seeing it. You think doctors, top-notch doctors, are going to want to stay in Louisiana or, you know, Kentucky and stuff like that, where they could possibly be prosecuted for this shit? No. They don't have to go to New York or California, but they can go to Maryland. They can go to some other states. See, the idea for Republicans is that, you know, these good old, you know, family doctors would never go to some liberal crazy place like California, New York. Dude, there's a lot of liberal places that are not New York or California.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to go to those places. Maybe they will, but they don't have to. So instead, you're going to lose intelligence, access, healthcare. You're going to lose that shit in those states. And then what happens? You're going to have citizens who leave in droves because they can't get basic medical care except for putting leeches on them and getting it preyed on, right? Like, you're going to have to figure out some way to thread the needle here. And like Trey Gowdy said, this is not a good idea. So, yeah, and he's right. You got to watch the video for that one. It's to me, it's ridiculous, but, you know, like, God bless. Best of luck, dum-dums. All right. Next up, take this story, Brad. SCOTUS is getting ready to put in a regulatory measure that is absolutely insane. I saw this early last week, too.
Yeah, so there's a case that was argued in front of the Supreme Court. I think it was last week. It's not important what the case is necessarily about. It's basically challenging federal regulation that requires owners of fishing vessels in the Atlantic herring fishery to pay for monitors who collect data and oversee operations while they're at sea. There's people that are fighting this. But what this actually is an undercurrent that's being fought is a legal doctrine that was introduced in the Reagan administration called the Chevron defense. And basically what it means is that if there is ambiguity in a legal statute, and there is like a executive department, an administration department that has the expertise to deal with these laws and that have the knowledge to know what they're all about, that the courts will defer to the agency's expertise if it's a reasonable thing to do. Okay, and essentially what that does is it prevents courts from having to rule on topics and issues that they're not equipped to do because they don't have the expertise or the knowledge to be able to rule coherently on stuff that requires, you know, specific industry knowledge about the specific, you know, department that you're talking about. So like if there's an environmental regulation that a statute, you know, is ambiguous because, you know, it was written before a time where we had some newfangled technology that makes things very different, the court should not have to be relying on themselves to make that decision. They should be relying on the EPA. Because the EPA hires scientists and they hire people who know about this stuff and can make reasonable determinations. Exactly. And again, this was introduced during the Reagan administration. So this was a Republican idea that was championed back in the 80s. Well, the Republican justices on the Supreme Court are going out of their way to make it very clear that they are about to bury the Chevron defense that has been on the books for the last several years. And the interesting thing is that it's almost like it's been a self-fulfilling prophecy because it's apparently been 14 years since the Supreme Court has used the Chevron deference to rule on something. And so like John Roberts' main argument against this was, well, functionally it's dead anyway, because we haven't used it in so many years. So like, because the Supreme Court is consciously not using this legal doctrine that's been on the books for quite some time, now there's no use for it because they decided that, you know, we're not using this thing anyway. So because we chose not to use it, which is insane.
So
And basically what this is going to do is when you have, you know, executive agencies who are trying to, you know, do their work, and you have challenges coming in from the courts, usually from corporations, usually backed by billionaires, and usually those billionaires are also happen to be, you know, Republican Party donors and PAC donors and people that are probably paying for Clarence Thomas's jet trips across the country.
Right.
They're gonna get to argue this stuff against in front of incredibly Republican district courts, because they'll go district shopping and they'll cherry pick people like Matthew Kaczmarek and other fucking federal district judges that'll be sympathetic to their claims. And so effectively billionaires are going to get to be the ones that answer regulatory questions instead of the experts whose job it is to do these things.
This seems like it is such an in the weeds ruling that will have unbelievable detriment to the American public. And these are the type of laws, these are the type of cases that 10 years from now, people are like, how did everything get so fucked up? And someone will do a YouTube video being like, well, if you go back to this year, this was struck down, and this is the precedent that created all of this mess. This is one of them.
Yeah.
You cannot give corporations the ability to answer that question, because they will always slide it to benefit themselves. This is a terrible fucking idea.
Yeah. And by the way, you might, you know, think of, oh, you know, this like fishing boat thing, whatever, blah, 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 bureaucracy. It's probably less great to have less bureaucracy. You do realize, like, you can look on the horizon and see some of the regulatory fights that are going to be coming down the pipe. We're going to have to get into the weeds with regulating cryptocurrency. We're going to have to get into the weeds with regulating artificial intelligence. We're going to have to get into the weeds with better regulating social media networks. We're going to have to get into the weeds with regulating things that you really don't want judges to be the ones making the decisions on. Do you really want this Supreme Court? Do you really want Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito being the ones to decide how fucking artificial intelligence development should be regulated in this country? Do you think that's a good idea?
Right.
Or do you maybe trust people that are in the fucking sectors of the government that actually know about this stuff, that actually have knowledge of how these systems work?
Yeah. Because again, these guys, they're hacks, right? Thomas, Alito.
Even if they were true blue, fucking, you know, like straight down the middle, like open thinking judges. I don't care. Like, I don't want Elena Kagan deciding this shit. I don't want Ketanji Brown Jackson. They're not experts in these fields.
Right. They're not. And this is the problem. But even outside of that, right? And that's a huge issue. The Supreme Court is one group to look at. Look at the other federal judges. You want that woman who the Trump judge who keeps trying to delay the fucking documents case? You want that lady fucking ruling on AI? I don't.
Again, all you have to do is look at the
fucking history. No,
you have companies when they know that they're going to have a legal challenge, literally incorporating their company in some way, shape, or form in Amarillo, Texas, so that they have standing to get in front of this fucking asshole Matthew Kaczmarek, who will literally vote, who will literally rule in whatever right wing fucking nonsense way that the corporations want him to. This is the dude that tried to put the stay in place to ban mifepristone before the lower courts are just like, "Well, slow your roll a little bit. Like, you need to fucking chill out a little bit, buddy." Like they know who the judges are that they need to go to get what they want. And it takes time to roll through the process to get up to the Supreme Court, where, again, I don't trust those motherfuckers either. No. when it comes to shit like this. So this, like, when we talk about why sometimes you just have to eat your fucking vegetables, even if you don't like the person that's running in your party, It could be so much worse if the other party gets involved. This is the kind of shit that nobody fucking thinks about, but that actually will impact your life.
It does real damage. It does real damage. Because, okay, all right, let's do a hypothetical. These guys, climate change, right? Some people are talking about it. It's kind of a big deal. The kids seem to be clamoring for it. We want climate change. But what if you get one of these groups? What if you get one of these companies, these mega companies, an energy company, for instance, like a Chevron, and they're like, yeah, they say we're polluting. You know, the scientists say we're polluting, but here's the data that we have that says that we're not, or that what we're doing is not so bad. Maybe, you know, us pissing oil into the ocean isn't really that bad of a thing. If it makes it to the Supreme Court, Sam Alito and the rest of his merry band of idiots decide, you know what? It's cool. We don't need to talk to the EPA. Fuck them. We can handle this. Sure. What you're doing is great. You have just opened up the world to these guys doing incredible damage. Not just one company, but all of the companies similar to them. Right? If you have, you know, food management, things like that. If you say, hey, we're gonna put this sweetener or something like that, or something that saves money, because it's always about saving money, into the food. But you don't have the regulators in the government from the FDA who goes, hey, actually, that does real damage. That's a carcinogen or something like that. If they are ruling in a case about this and they don't have the expertise from it or for it, these judges, and they go, yeah, that should say okay, you're cool. Then what? It's already done. The damage is already done. And a lot of times with laws, especially in America, America is a very large boat. And it is very hard to right the ship once it starts going in a certain direction. It is very difficult. How many fucking examples of that do you need? This is one of those things that in 10 years, in 5 years, we'll be wondering why things have gotten worse. And this will be a fucking direct – there will be a direct through line from this moment to then. Eat your vegetables. Brad is 100% correct.
And by the way, if by some miracle Trump gets in to office again, and because you people couldn't be – not you people, but like people couldn't be bothered to vote for Joe Biden even though they don't really want to, I guarantee you Clarence Thomas, probably going to retire. Sam Alito, 100%. Probably going to retire and then enjoy another fucking 47-year-old – right-wing ass Republican, you know, two more justices getting appointed that'll be on that bench for 30 fucking years.
Yep. But, you know, I see shit on TikTok where they're like, Democrats want to lose. That's the plan. It's a system and they both want to lose. Get your high-minded horse shit out of here. No. Sometimes they lose because they do dumb shit. And sometimes they lose because you don't vote. Okay. No, they don't want to lose, dude. Get the fuck out of here. That's idiotic.
I mean, look, losing the presidency in 2024 would certainly give Democrats the outside lead going into 2028. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, 100%. Jesus Christ.
But doesn't mean you want to throw away 4 years of the country to do that.
No, because what happens? Cool.
Right.
You took 4 years off. Then you spend the next 4 years or 8 years fixing all of the
fixing
shit that
fixing all the problems.
Yep. That's what happens every time. No, beat them now and then fucking pass the reins off to America's friendly asshole, Gavin Newsom, and let him fucking – look, by the way, we didn't talk about it. The Ron DeSantis campaign is like, we're turning our eyes to 2028. Dude, that guy already beat you.
Yeah, what are you going to do in a debate against him where it's not a handicap match, where you don't have Sean Hannity fucking feed like tossing softballs to you?
Dude, you better be fucking shadow boxing for the next 4 years. Gavin Newsom certainly is. He can't wait to take your ass. Dude, you know he wants to take on Ron DeSantis in 2028. Like, that's his guy. He's like, fuck yeah. But when I kicked your ass last time, I'm back. Like, yeah, nah, 100%. 100%. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. That story I saw the other day, and I was just like, this is not going to work out well. It's not going to work out well. Unbelievable. Next up, Florida's chief financial officer, Jimmy Patronus, a huge Harry Potter fan, is special, says the Palm Beach Post. That's what they wrote.
I have to tell you, and I just noticed it myself. It's actually a bit of an old story. This story is from a couple months back.
Oh, really? Yeah, because they've been talking about this for a while.
Well, it came back in the news because they actually wrote a bill to get this to happen, which got we'll talk about what happened to that bill in a little bit. But
so our boy Jimmy Patronus, he was like, listen, how about we just have Florida, the mediocre state of Florida, pay for Trump's legal bills?
Oh, did you mention this guy is the chief financial officer of the state of Florida, by the way?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
He's got Florida's money, best interest in mind, right? So he's like, look, why don't we just – don't worry about it, guys. Trump, you're a Florida citizen. We got you, bro. We're just going to pay for everything. And everyone's like, I'm sorry, what? That doesn't make any sense. And Ron DeSantis, he was like, hold on a second. He took off his high-heel boots, got a little comfortable, and was like, I just got out of the race. Let me step into this shit. Ron DeSantis was like, we're absolutely not doing this. Get the fuck out of here. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Monday shot down an attempt from fellow Republicans in his state to allow taxpayer money to help Donald Trump's legal fees. Jimmy Patronus, Florida's CFO, had backed the bill that would have established a Freedom Fighters Fund to provide up to $5 million in financial support to Florida residents running for president who face legal, partisan, and political attacks by the Department of Justice or state attorneys. God, you sycophantic piece of shit.
Oh my God, I need to give Ron DeSantis a little bit of credit here. Because not only for nixing this, but actually the way he did it is actually pretty baller. I'm not gonna lie. So apparently, like, Politico posted a story with the headline, like, some Florida Republicans want taxpayers to pay Trump's legal bills. DeSantis quote treated the story and said, quote, but not the Florida Republican who wields the veto pen.
Oh, damn. Boom. Absolutely.
It's actually pretty good. Gotta give old Meatball Ron a little credit on that one. It's a pretty good clapback.
Look, he's free. He's term limit out. He's living his best life now. It's like
poor Florida residents. You've probably had competent governance for the last like 6 months. That's about to come to a quick end.
Yeah, no, that's over. Ron is out there new boot goofing. Like he doesn't need to.
There's a show title contender if I ever heard one.
that is such a great Reno 911 bit. Look, the fact that anyone thought that giving Trump $5 million, dude, he's a billionaire. So he says. And you're going to give this guy $5 million. By the way, the rumor is that he may end up paying $370 million in that New York fraud case. Oh, we're going to find out if he's a billionaire. You're going to find out.
I told you he's going to do the full Rudy in that case.
I declare bankruptcy.
I declared it.
There's a difference. I don't think that guy's a billionaire. And I think when they hit his ass with that $370 million check, he's going to be like, or bill, he's going to be like, going to need to figure out something else because he ain't got it.
He's gonna be like the Monopoly guy on the community chess card where like the pockets are pulled out. And he's just like, I don't have any money.
Pockets like rabbit ears. Like, get out of here. Yeah, look, I don't need to talk about the Chris Sununu thing. He said that Trump harms the party from the top of the ticket. We talked about that already, so we can skip that.
Yeah.
I guess I can just move this into this week in stupid. Tim Scott got engaged, guys.
He sure did. Oh, you're not lying. Congratulations, Tim Scott.
Yeah,
with your totally real and not politically arranged engagement.
Look, it's sweeps weeks, everybody, and so Tim brought in a veteran actress to come in. And, she got pulled in for the full season, so good for her.
Just happened to have like a professional photographer there to take the picture of the big moment on the beach, that you could share that photo with the Washington Post to give a nice headline where it literally mentions you as a vice presidential hopeful in the fucking headline. Very convenient.
So you think he just did it for love or?
Jay.
Is this a love marriage, Brad?
Jay, don't be surprised. Put it this way. If he does get picked to be on the ticket with Trump and they lose, we'll see how quickly this engagement quietly gets, as you like to say, scuttle, 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 scuttle. Yeah, 100%. Down the back pages. Tim Scott. So I have the feeling we're going to get to talk a whole lot more about Tim Scott in the next couple months here, because this man has a gear shifted from first to fifth when it comes to complete pick me energy for Donald Trump right now. I'm sure you have all seen the stump speech that he gave when he officially endorsed Trump in New Hampshire. If you haven't, go out of your way and set phasers for 3 straight minutes of cringe as Tim Scott tries his damnedest to do like the fucking like middle-aged black pastor thing, hyping up this Republican crowd. But it's so not him.
It's not good. It's like, look, no. I am an atheist, but I did grow up in the church. Look, this is not a good black pastor impression. It's bad. Like, we used to do one as a kid, man. Like this is bad. I think that he's never been to a black church like that. That's what I feel like. I feel like maybe
he's from South Carolina. He has to have. Come on. Like
not all your skin folk is your kin folk. I'm telling you.
I would think living down there that you'd like accidentally find yourself in a church every now and then. Just like you're like walking along and you walk into this building and you're like, oh, like I could use a cup of coffee. You're like, oh shit, it's a church. Like, where did this come from?
But has he? Because the way he's talking, he's more like TD Fakes. Okay, like I'm not enjoying this nonsense that he's pulling up. It's so bad. I wish I could find that clip. It was so bad. Where he's like, we got to get somebody who believes in America. I was like, that's the wrong cadence. Like,
yeah, he's like we need someone to protect my Social Security and my mama's Social Security. I'm just like, Tim Scott, like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
People are sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm like, you didn't even deliver it right. It wasn't good.
It's funny because Trump is like slightly off camera, but he's still there. And it's like very like he's just like, man, like I'd really like to be talking again. Like you're taking up way too much. Like you should have came out here for 30 seconds and then get the fuck out of here.
I'm sure
you're taking up my time.
Look, there are very few times that I would say this, but I'm sure that Trump and I are having the exact same thought when Tim Scott is up there, which is this. And I don't look. This is me saying it, but I 100% think that Trump is also thinking this. Nigga, go sit your ass down. Like, this is like, it's not okay. It's not okay. Like, he seems ridiculous. He seems like a clown. He seems like a person who is desperate for white people's approval. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think that he knows the type of person Donald Trump really is. And I think it says more about Tim Scott as a black man to know who Donald Trump is and to still want to be saddled to him. You saw what he did to the last guy he was, who was his VP, and he was white. You think he won't sell your ass out to the mob? There's all these crazy MAGA people out now who are saying that JFK Jr., not RFK Jr., JFK Jr., the dead one, is going to be Trump's VP. And I sent you and Andy the screen caps of that. Like, and all you're like, and then he's going to make Trump president of the United States, or, you know, king of the world. Also, and they're serious. These are QAnon nutcases. Yeah. And your response was perfect. Boy, they're going to be really disappointed when it's Tim Scott.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like we are also talking about, you know, we talked about Vivek getting his rude awakening last week. We're seeing Nikki Haley get some of that rude awakening from the Republican Party as well. Dude, Tim Scott, like, your turn's next, buddy. Like if Trump does actually pick you to be vice president, oof, there's going to be some reactions from portions of that party that you are not going to like very much. Just FYI.
Which is weird because you're already in that party. You already know the people that talk like that. I don't understand why you would even want to be associated with them. I truly don't. Like,
power is a hell of a drug, Jay. Power and relevancy is a fucking hell of a deal to creates a lot of strange bedfellows, as it were.
Well, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it.
He seems to be in, like, unless Trump has like some super secretive wild card pick in his back pocket that he just hasn't told anybody about yet. It seems like that was kind of like an introduction of Tim Scott running mate to the scene of sorts. And if he is the running mate, oh my God, you are going to see Jay get progressively angrier as the months tick by on this fucking podcast.
Oh my God, dude. Like, you will slowly watch me, one, become angrier and angrier, and then one day I'll just have a beret on. And then in a few weeks I'll have a black leather jacket on, and I will just slowly morph into a 1960s Black Panther type character because I will be furious. And I will be calling Tim Scott a coon every chance I get. I'm like two steps there now. Like, it's not even that difficult. Here is a suggestion though for Veep that I heard the other day, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
Elise Stefanik.
I don't know, man. She is. I mean, she's a woman, which I think is beneficial for him to pick. She also has serious pick me energy right now, considering she's running defense for him on the fucking Sunday shows.
She was defending him in the E. Jean Carroll case, calling E. Jean
Carroll. She was defending him there. Like they were asking her. They were asking her about like the Nikki Haley gaffe with confusing her and Nancy Pelosi. Oh, he didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake. I'm just like, what? Like can't see you trying to wiggle your way out of this one. Yeah, she's got pick me energy as well. So we'll see. I mean, she would make a bit of sense as well. Yeah. She's from New York, even though she's from upstate New York. So that it's not going to help you. not going to help you in New York. And she's also one of those craven Republicans who basically sold, like, did a complete 180 when he became the guy that was the, as you said, the center of the Republican Party. Yeah. And she gravitated towards him. So,
yep, like a big orange dumb son of a bitch. And so, like, it's, yeah, she's a I think a solid choice. I mean, the other choice, and I think it's more likely than any of them. Mm-hmm. He's getting more paranoid. He can't trust anybody. He's got to keep everything tight to the vest. He picks a kid. He picks one of his kids.
Yeah. You think that's more likely than anybody?
I think the crazier he gets and the more fucking wily and like, everybody's trying to fucking take me down. If he gets more and more paranoid, 100%. You pick the person who you think you can trust the most. You do. His daughter ain't going to do it. They just want to be socialized. Yep.
I mean, his daughter would be the only person that might stand a chance of getting him across the fucking line because she seems the most sane out of the fucking three of them.
You got to go with Junior.
I mean, look, if you really want to torpedo your campaign with the sliver of normie Republicans that you're trying in vain to hold on to, then sure, pick fucking Don Jr. to be your dude.
Look, I'll tell you this. This is not fair. Probably a little bit rude. I denounce and reject myself immediately, but we're past the hour mark. Joe Biden gets rid of Kamala Harris, brings in Hunter Biden. Donald Trump picks Don Jr., old man, cokehead, crackhead son, battle royale. Come on. That's what we want. There you go, man.
So Don Jr.'s argument against the border will be the fentanyl crisis is killing us. Like, I can't trust any of the coke that I'm buying right now, that it won't have fentanyl dangerous. Inside of it.
I've got to send some to my guy to get it tested. This is not the America I grew up in. I grew up in America with that pure cocaine as a rich kid.
Here's the thing. I don't think he likes either of his sons enough to make that a baby candidate.
Wild choice. He picks what's the daughter? He can't remember her name.
Oh, Tiffany.
Tiffany. He's like
that would be out of left field for sure.
He'd be like, you didn't think I knew. You don't think I remembered her, did you? Well, I did. I think if he gets increasingly paranoid, which a lot of dictators and shit do, I think there's a chance that he could pick one of his kids. I think he'd want to pick Ivanka, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't think she'd do it. I don't think so.
No, not after all the fun she had with her 4-year escapade inside the White House, just working as a staffer.
Yeah, they destroyed their reputation. They destroyed it. They're like, can we just go to the Hampton parties? People are like, oh, fuck yourself. No, no, like, we're sad. So
no, Jared has his nest egg from the Saudis. They're fine. They're doing fine right now.
That's true. Got two billion. All right. Last story in This Week in Stupid. It's actually not as bad as I thought it was at first. but as I name the story, Kentucky Republicans go full Shelbyvillian.
That's right.
Not really. Why do we even want to marry our cousins? Because they're so darn attractive. Kentucky Republican pushes bill to make sex with first cousin not incest. Here's the thing, though. This is a brutal fucking headline because Kentucky Republican didn't push the bill. That's not what happened. But this Kentucky cousin fucker did, in fact, make a mistake. Like, it's a legitimate mistake. It's actually really quite funny. So apparently this guy, Nick Wilson, who apparently was on the show Survivor in 2018. He's 27 years old. And won, yeah. He was on Survivor David and Goliath. He's a 27-year-old public defender. So what happened is he filed HB 269, which the purpose of the bill was to add, quote, sexual contact to the incest statute. Currently, incest only applies in cases of intercourse. So sexual touching, groping by uncles, stepdads, and anyone with familiar relationship is not included in incest. My bill, this is him saying this, my bill makes that kind of sexual contact a Class D felony unless the victim is under the age of 12, then it increases the penalty to a Class C felony. During the drafting process, there was an inadvertent change which struck first cousins from the list of people included in this, from the list of relationships included under the incest statute. I failed to add it back. During today's session, I will withdraw the bill and re-add it. So what happened is he put forth this bill and it's like sexual contact is included. You know, we need to crack down on this. And it's like, but take the first cousins out of it. It's like, people were like, wait, what the fuck? And then he was like, oh, shit, I didn't mean to do that. It's like, take it out. So he took it out and now they're resubmitting. He was like, look, he did a 2-minute long TikTok. He was like, guys, for real, I did not mean to do that. Like, there was a real mistake. which is hilarious. Like, I'm not mad at the guy. It's just an honest mistake or whatever. But yeah. It's hilarious. The dude was like, oh, shit. I might have just made incest with your cousin totally legal in Kentucky. No one else noticed. Everyone's like,
I'm sure he celebrated catching his mistake with a nice, tall, cool glass of turnip juice.
Oh, yes. 100%. Shake hard, boy. But in fairness, he looks like the type of guy who would be like, we gotta let cousin fucking be legal, guys. Like this.
Yeah, the unfortunate picture of him, I guess this is at the Survivor finale event, definitely makes him look like he auditioned for the Joker role in the fucking CW Batman show, the Alfred show that was on there for a while. So
yes. Yeah, he looks like this image under this headline is giving off real pedophile vibes, dude. Like, it's really unfortunate for this guy. But in fairness to him, it did not go down as the headline says. And that's really fucked up for Newsweek to push that. It's really, really awful, dude. Yeah. So Nick Wilson is not only supporting, but has introduced a bill that would reclassify incest in the state of Kentucky to not include your own first cousin. Kentucky, like so many other places, is facing a lot of issues, and this is Nick's top legislative priority. Yeah, except it's not. Like, that's not what happened. Look, dude.
In a related story, Rudy Giuliani saw this headline and immediately decided, you know what, I'm going to move to Kentucky. This is going to be great. Yeah.
He was like, finally. He was like, at least in New York, you get to marry your first cousin like a real man. Like, gross. Yeah, very, very funny. Not gonna lie, this is pretty goddamn hilarious. But no, this guy made a mistake. And look, it's a good This Week It's Stupid story. Like, it just is. You really gotta fucking read through what you're submitting that next day. You gotta get a second pair of eyes on that. Like, what happened to first cousins, dude?
Yeah, you have a staff for a reason. You gotta have a copy editor in there.
Also, Word has that, like, compare and contrast. Like, you want to have that first cousin shit highlighted. Like, bro, you took this out. Like, oh, shit. Like, sorry. You really want to make sure. But really.
Smash cut to a bunch of Kentuckians, like, fucking punching through their straw hat in anger that the first cousin language got nixed.
Yeah, we're from the so close. Vision. So fucking close. God, I hate that guy. All right, that is it for us. We will be back next week, per usual. I don't know what's going to happen. Any wild predictions there, Brad?
A wild prediction would be that Nikki Haley drops out of the race sometime in the next week. So, and we'll endorse Donald Trump because she's a punk bitch. So,
yeah, that would not be good. By the way, 75.9, so let's say 76% reporting in New Hampshire. Donald Trump, 55%. Nikki Haley, 43.5%. He is not.
The lead has grown.
Yeah, but
he's not going to get over 70. Sure.
He's not going to get over 60%.
No.
No, I don't think so. All right, so there you go. The incumbent can't get it up over 60%. All right, we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.